Welcome to Dream Big with Jill Jack, a show that will inspire, educate, and encourage you to break down your barriers and follow your heart. Here's your host, Jill Jack, on Empower Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Dream Big, and I am your host, Jill Jack. And today I want to state that not everything is found on Google. Many of us are in such a hurry living our lives. We live in such an instantaneous, gratifying era. Alexa can turn on our lights, play any song, even turns on my own ceiling fan. Google can answer any question you have, but there is a priceless source that is right at our fingertips, a source that is ready, willing, and very able to share so much information if we just take the time to tap into it. Today, I am venturing into the topic of relationships with our elders. The wealth of knowledge, experience, and so much more that no Google app could ever provide. I mean, when is the last time you sat down with an elder? What is one of the most priceless conversations you remember having with an elderly person? Well, I know for me, some of the most inspirational, funny, even heart-wrenching, and I want to be you when I grow up moments happen when I talk to my mother-in-law, Janet Oakry. She just had a birthday last weekend, so I decided to incorporate Jan into my podcast this week, as I know that everyone and anyone that meets her is truly inspired. So please meet Janet Oakry. Hello, Mom.
Hi, darling. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Couldn't be better.
Is this your very first podcast?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, you and I had kind of gone over some questions, so what I want to do is just have you relax and just answer them like you did with me. What was your childhood like?
Exciting.
Yes, and why was
hard
it exciting?
Work.
Go ahead.
Hardworking.
Mm-hmm. What did you do that was so hardworking?
Well, if we didn't consider work, it was just a way of life.
Where did you grow up?
On a farm outside of Lake Odessa.
Okay. Lake Odessa, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And how many kids did you have in your family?
I was the oldest of five.
Oldest of five. What were your I know this is a really broad question, but what were your fondest memories of childhood?
Well, there are many. And I don't know if the fondest, but one that I remember vividly was we girls, my brother was fourth in line, so we girls would sit in the backyard, and we had chickens. So we would wash eggs and candle them. We had a little something with a light in it so that we could see into the egg if there was any blood spots. So we would candle the eggs and then wash them, and then fill a 30-dozen crate with those eggs, and eventually my dad would take those to Chicago and sell them where we had some relatives. Mm-hmm. We also did chickens, and I can describe that if you'd like me to.
Absolutely, because this is one of my fondest memories of your childhood, so share it.
Okay. Well, we also did chickens, and we'd have to catch them, tied them on the clothesline, and then cut their heads off.
Oh dear!
When we were doing a lot, my dad did that. But anyhow, and then hang them there to bleed, and eventually we would plunge them in hot water to take the feathers off. That was rather time consuming because we had to not only take the feathers off, but eventually the little pin feathers. And then we would have a production line going to clean out the insides and wash them and prepare them also to go to Chicago for sale.
Now, I remember you told me that you and your sisters would all be on the porch plucking feathers and singing songs. Is that true?
That too.
Yeah.
Yes. So, or doing silly, goofy things, which drove my dad crazy. I mean, he loved it, but you know how kids are.
But so you guys were really hardworking. I mean, you had to get up early, didn't you?
Yes.
And you didn't know any other way of life.
No. And it was a beautiful way of life. I would do it again. It was out in the fresh air.
Mm-hmm. And how old were you when you left your childhood home?
18.
18. Where did you live?
I went to Grand Rapids and got an apartment and got a job.
Wow. So, you know, what year was that, if you don't mind me asking? Do you remember?
Well, 1953.
So, you know, when you did that, I mean, you were considered kind of pretty independent. Women weren't really going out and moving out on their own and getting their own apartment. Isn't that true?
True.
Yeah.
But I wasn't going to live off my mom and dad. What you did was you just went out and got a job. And even before that, I worked in the little town of Lake Odessa at the dime store, and then at a little factory where we sorted brass for Keeler Brass in Grand Rapids. So, and I also worked on the farm. And when you're the oldest, and there was three of us girls before there was a boy, I mean, we did it all. We did the milking, the combining, the baling, but it was routine. It was a way of life. We didn't know any different, and we loved it.
Now, how old were you when you got married?
26.
26. And you married a man with three children. He already had three children. What was that like? What was your mindset? How did you maintain, you know, this mindset to help you with this huge undertaking?
I loved this man, and I loved his children. They needed a mother. That's not the reason I married him. I married him because I loved him, and I loved the kids. I raised them as my very own, and I jumped in and never looked back.
Now, your husband, with his job, he was required to move a lot and all over the country. I mean, did you have a say in that at all?
No, because, you know, you just didn't. He was the breadwinner. He was a professional quality control manager in aerospace industry. And we just climbed the corporate ladder.
Now, were you responsible for, you know, like packing up the family and, you know, every time you moved? And if so, how did you handle that? Wasn't there a lot of stress involved in that, or how did you handle that?
No, you just handle stress. Yeah, I handled it. A very strong person. When we moved to Cedar Rapids, we were moved by a van line, and then we moved to Dallas, Texas, and again we were moved by the company. And sometimes we went in a van, and sometimes we went in a U-Haul. It depended on the circumstances. In the corporate world, there's no guarantees.
Right. Now, your husband passed very young of cancer. And how old were you when he passed?
49.
Now, you know, you had to find work when he passed away. Isn't that correct? And you were raising your fourth son, who I just personally think is amazing. That's the man I married. But you needed income. So you had to find work. And there was no such thing as the internet back then. So, I mean, how did you, you know, go about finding work back then?
Okay, just briefly, I decided to take Roger on a trip to Hawaii to get us through that first long winter, and we took a two-week trip with a tour, and on the way back, I thought, what in hell am I going to do with the rest of my life? And so I contacted the travel agent in Hastings that we had reserved the trip through, and I became outside sales here in Gaylord, where I live, but realized that that wasn't going to work with raising a teenage son, that I was going to need benefits. So in the meantime, he was delivering coffee and newspapers at the Hidden Valley Resort. And he would ride his bike at the age of 15, ride his bike there at 5 o'clock in the morning, deliver papers and coffee. And one day they asked him if he'd watch a couple of little ones while their parents were skiing. So I got a phone call, and he asked me if I'd come out and help him because they had brought a couple more. Mm-hmm. And that started my career. The manager of the resort asked me if I would start a children's program that the members and the children would rave about, because it was a private ski club in the winter time.
Mm-hmm.
And so anyhow, we did. And the rest is history. In the wintertime, I was with the children's program. And in the summertime, I was a hostess in the dining room. And I was there for 9 years.
Good for you. That is amazing. So you just pulled up your bootstraps, went to work. Yeah, I guess your farm training helped. So
it did.
So I'm going to vary off a little bit here. The world state of affairs are, you know, very unsettling right now for a lot of us, I think, for pretty much everybody. How do you feel about it?
Well, I vaguely remember Herbert Hoover. I remember the day that our President Roosevelt declared war on Japan,
mm-hmm.
Went through World War II, went through the Korean conflict, Vietnam War, been through a lot, seen a lot of presidents come and go. And there was strife and chaos. It wasn't always perfect with any one of them. So, but I am a survivor, and this too shall pass.
Well, I think that's brilliant, brilliant advice for a lot of us, because, you know, I think a lot of us get extremely nervous about it. So this too shall pass. I think we should all remember that and live in hope. So you just had a birthday. May I ask how old you are?
I was 85 Saturday, and I had the best birthday I've ever had. It was emotional. It was exciting. There was just love everywhere. And I can't wait to be 86. I hadn't thought about that till right this minute.
What is your motto for life at this point?
Live life to the fullest. Look forward to every day. Every day is a gift. I can't wait to get out of bed in the morning.
Well, that was my next question. So most people I know that meet you can't believe that you're 85. I mean, they are shocked, actually. I remember a story with you. You came to the Detroit Music Awards with me, and I took a picture of you sitting between the Insane Clown Posse. So you never seem to, you always surprise me. But I know for me, you're quite a role model. But for others that haven't met you and are meeting you for the first time today, tell me how you get up every morning with that bounce in your step and that positive outlook in your heart. Because, I mean, I know that you beat us when we're up there, all of us. You're always the first one up cleaning, you know, the dishwasher, just moving along, and you've got more energy than all of us put together. How do you do that?
Because I love life, because I had two fabulous parents as role models. We worked for us. Work for some, I should say, is a four-letter word. For me, it's a privilege. And I am happy to get out of bed in the morning and look forward to whatever excitement or surprises. Some days I get up and let it evolve. Some days I have a to-do list.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Well, since this show is called Dream Big, what is a dream that you still want to attain?
I want many more adventures with my family, all of them, and keep on making memories.
Well, thank you so much, Jan. You have now done your very first podcast. I won't be surprised if you have your own radio show at some point. But thank you again. Happy birthday, and keep living large.
Thank you.
Bye. Love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Isn't she just so inspiring? Well, I love that she constantly motivates me, and I love to be surrounded by people like that. So what I decided to do, though, is I love to get feedback from my Dream Big listeners. So when I ask what their thoughts were about taking time to sit down and really listen to elders, here are some of the beautiful responses I received. Terry said, I used to go to my grandma's to help her out and would sit with her after and ask her lots of questions about her life. what it was like growing up with her huge family and then raising her own family. She loved it. And one day she thanked me for caring enough to ask and to listen. Many years ago, Terry said, when I was much younger, I was going to do a photo journal on seniors in all different walks of life and let them tell their stories. Well, Terry said that she never did get back to that because she was raising her family. She said it's still something she would love to do. Thank you, Terry, so much for that. And of course, my response to you is, there is no time like the present. It would be awesome if you did that photo journal, and we look forward to seeing it. Well, Jenna takes the time to chat with the elderly when she's out shopping. She helped a sweet elderly lady pick out capris at Sam's Club. They got to talking, and then the woman introduced her to her husband. They chatted for over 15 minutes. Another time, Jenna was at Kroger, and an elderly man asked her a question about an item in the frozen section. They ended up talking about his wife, who had passed a few years ago. He talked about how they met at a dance club, and soon he had to go back to war. But when he returned from the war, he married her. He told her how much he loved her. It made Jenna really miss her grandparents. Jenna said she really enjoys these little outings where she can meet the elder people, and she hopes that her listening actually helps their day too. And Sue said, it's so important to really listen to these stories, which may soon be gone. So to respect our elders is to respect humanity. It's an incredible quote. Nicole had recently begun to volunteer with the elderly. One of her favorite patients is a 92-year-old World War II vet who is still quite sharp, and he recently told her some stories from his time in Europe. Slowly and quietly, he opened up to her while staring out the window as if he was 1,000 miles away. It still chokes her up just thinking about it. Nicole said he has such warm, smiling eyes, and she couldn't help but think of all the life he has seen. This has motivated her to spend more time with the elderly, listening to men and women like him who may have little to offer our fast-paced, high-tech world in the way of productivity. But as Nicole says, my goodness, the things that they have stored up are an absolute treasure trove of history and humor and wisdom. Well, I'd say you rocked it, Nicole. I agree 100%. It's just priceless. Randy's best memory is a funny one. He remembers his grandfather telling him about a cousin of his being involved with a guy named John Dillinger. He said he heard that he was pretty good with a machine gun. Randy remembers the story well because his grandfather once told him he looked like a young Dillinger. His grandfather then got out some old articles and showed the young Randy. Randy said he used to use this excuse when he misbehaved as a youngster, saying it was in his blood. Well, Randy made me laugh out loud when I read that one. Now, Keith wrote in, it was quite thought-provoking response. He said he found it interesting that the deathbed advice given by the elderly so often mirrors that which we intuitively knew as children, basically living in the moment, dreaming, creating, staying curious, being true to your heart, and that kindness matters. He states that it's a shame that the wisdom of the elderly and the children are not continuously threaded through our culture. It may also allow us to individually and collectively live with more wisdom and few regrets. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live with regrets. And I do live dream big. I always dream big. But I think that we can even find more about our lives through other people. Check out your elderly people. Look at the people around you. They have so much knowledge. And you can reach deep into what they know and you can learn from it. Just like my mother-in-law, I learn things from her every day. The idea of her work ethic, even to this day, I mean, she doesn't have to get out of bed. She doesn't have to. She could stay in bed all day long. She's not working, but she gets up and she starts cleaning out that dishwasher, gets on her John Deere. I'm not kidding you. 85 years old, John Deere. And she loves to cut her grass. She still doesn't let anyone do it. So these kind of things motivate me. You know, getting older doesn't mean that you have to stop. It just means that you're wiser than everyone else around you. So dream big, listeners. I say thank you so much for writing in. I believe that you have nailed it on the head. I love the introspection from all of you. And I know for myself, I will continue to pick the brains of those who have traveled before me. Oh, the lessons I can learn. I hope you do the same. Well, this is Jill Jack, and thanks for listening. And remember, a dream is an invitation to reality. So dream big, baby. Believe, believe, believe.